order. It's May the 2nd. It's 2:10 in the afternoon, and we have just two items. We had scheduled three. We're going to go ahead and hold over SJR 12 in conversations with the sponsor. And I'll just say on the record my reasons for it are simply that there's a fair amount of controversy on the subject. I don't disagree that there ought to be a vote up or down, but my number one concern is that our delegation has to do their job. And at least one member of our delegation has expressed a larger concern about ANWR and this nuclear option and how that could potentially disrupt her ability to do her job and some other fronts. And so this isn't meant to express an opinion one way or the other, but I just have a concern. We need to be cautious, in my opinion, about shipping these resolutions off in the midst of very controversial things and be sure we get it right when we do it. So to that extent, we're going to hold it over, and Senator Terrio and I will continue to discuss it and see what we think about that. So we'll bring up Senate Bill 104 and Senate Bill 101. And present for the record are Representatives Cott, Guerra, Coghill, and myself, McGuire, and we do have a quorum to conduct business. We had already closed public testimony on Senate Bill 104, but if there is anybody here that would like to testify on it, I'd be happy to take your testimony. That I see just questions so far. Is there anybody here in the audience that wishes to testify on Senate Bill 104? Anybody online? Okay, so that brings the bill back before us. We have a new CS, and I just want to thank the members of this committee for their patience. When last we met, the intent was to roll in not only the part of the bill that had already been through this body and passed unanimously, but a part of a bill, 273, which had not yet had a hearing. And in a nutshell, in conversations with Senator Seekins and then with even Representative Wyrock, Representative Gruenberg, and others, I think it would be imprudent to pass along such a substantive change in public policy without thorough public hearings and debate on it. I think that there are some potential constitutional issues. I think they're workable at some point, but it is going to take some time. And then there are the practical concerns that came up that I just think there are too many to try to ascertain in the last 7 days of session. So I hope the committee supports me on that and understands that I have a willingness to address that subject. I know many of you are co-sponsors of 273, and I'll commit whatever resources myself and Vanessa to try and work out something in the interim on that. So I'd appreciate a motion if someone was so willing to adopt the S version, which then contains, Representative Gruenberg has joined us, simply the part of the bill that has passed already, my bill, the original allowable absences, restoring those for Peace Corps and members of the United States Olympic team, along with the civil penalties that are commensurate with Senator Seekins' criminal penalties.
Just,
Representative,
I'm sorry, Kruger? I'm just trying to read something on another bill that's coming up today. What are we doing here?
That's okay. We just have a new CS, Representative Gruenberg. After our discussion and others, we decided to hold off on the House Bill 273 part of it for constitutional concerns and practical concerns regarding holding people's dividends in trust, and work on that over the interim with Representative Wyrock. So this bill now, the CS before you, simply contains my bill, the part that passed unanimously, if you will.
Are we looking at the X version? Or
S. So I need a motion.
Madam Chair.
S is in Sierra?
Coghill.
Yes.
With that, Madam Chair, I'd move that we adopt the S version, which is code-stated 41305, House CS for CS for Senate Bill 104 Judiciary.
Okay. Is there an objection to adopting the S version? Okay. Hearing none, we have the S version before us. Is there any further committee discussion or amendments? Representative Guerra.
Madam Chair, I just I don't know what your plans are for maybe doing a summer work group on what was HB 273, and actually I don't know where I sit on it. I just wanted to reemphasize my concern that if we do anything like HB 273, we remain sensitive to people who leave the state because they're ill or their family members are ill, and I think they need that money. I don't think they should have to wait till they come back, and then other people who leave the state who've grown up here, who leave the state not to make money, but to do vocational ed or higher education. It seems to me that if we craft something like this again, we should think it through, and maybe do it a little differently. So I think it's actually a good move. I think something like this does require much more thought than we're able to do in the last 9 days of session. So I think it's a good move to sit down and think about this one for a while.
Thank you, Representative Guerra, and I concur with your sentiments. I know the folks that are going to school sure use that money, and people who are giving up their time to take care of family members who are ill and so on. So that needs to continue to be part of the equation. And with respect to work group, I'd like to talk to Representative Wyrock, since he's kind of the lead on it, and see what his thoughts are. But I think that's probably the best way to work on it. I think there are a lot of issues that need to be addressed. So thank you for your thoughts. Further comments? Senate Bill 104, okay.
Madam Chair, if we can maybe have the Department of Law come up, I've got one question.
Good afternoon. Chris Pogue, Department of Law. I don't have a copy of S, so if it's a question that comes out of version
I think
S.
You can answer this without having a copy of S. But, Madam Chair, the only question I have, which is somewhat unrelated, although it did come into some consideration last time we met, was how well did you do fishing over the weekend?
Through the Chair, Representative Cott. I did really well at my suntan. However, the fish are a little spooked by the sun, so I didn't do quite as well at the fishing as I'd hoped, but still managed to get a half dozen steelhead and lots of dollies in a suntan. Thanks.
No further questions.
That's great. And Representative Dahlstrom has joined us for the record. Okay, does anybody want to make a motion?
Madam Chair, I'd move that we move out of committee House CS for CS for Senate Bill 104 Judiciary version that is S, dated 4/13/05. With individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Thank you. Representative Cott, is there an objection to that motion? Okay, hearing none, Senate Bill 104S version has moved. Okay, and that brings us to, pardon me, Vanessa's right. Okay, there's a title change resolution that has to accompany it. Does everyone have a copy of that?
You don't, it's not drafted yet. You just need to make a motion that this committee introduce the...
Okay, so I move that the Judiciary Committee introduce an accompanying title change resolution to go along with Senate Bill 104. Is there an objection to that motion? Okay, hearing none, the House Judiciary Committee will introduce an accompanying title change resolution.
Madam Chair?
Representative Gruenberg.
You need to take a motion on that other matter we discussed.
I'm going to take a brief at ease. What matter? In order, and so we have dispensed with both the title resolution along with Senate Bill itself 104. That brings us to the revisers bill. For those of, actually we don't have anybody that's new on this committee. Everybody knows what the revisers bill is. It's a supposed to be anyway a technical in nature cleanup bill, and we have Mr. James Crawford, who's the assistant reviser, here to present it for us, and tell us about it.
Afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. The bill is prepared annually under the authority of 01-05-036, which basically commands the reviser to go forth and fix problems in the statute. The problems and their solutions fall into three general categories. First, we address problems with solutions that tend to improve the form or substance of the law. This is the most common category of solution in the revisers bill this year, and the nature of these sorts of things can take the form of grammatical correction, conforming the statutes to the drafting manual style, and things of that nature. An example of one of these is found in bill section 66 on page 29, where we're changing emission unit to emissions unit. We're adding an S because federal regulations require our statutes in this area, which relates to air quality control, to mirror the federal terms. The federal term has an S, so we're adding an S to the statute. The second category of problem and proposed solution in this bill. It deals with correcting oversights or errors. And on something of this nature, what's happened is that the language in a given section does not exactly match the legislative intent for that section. And so what we're trying to do is to conform the language to the intent. And when I'm talking about intent in this sense, I'm talking about a policy choice that's already been made. If we understand the policy choice and we know that the language just doesn't accomplish it, we will propose a solution that that bridges that gap, if you will. This is the least common amendment in the revisor's bill this year. And one example is Bill Section 21, which starts on page 8, goes over onto page 9. This particular amendment deals with the statutory form power of attorney. It's actually a form that's set out in the statutes whereby one can give an agent to, various powers to act in your place and with your authority for legal purposes. The nature of the change here is that we are replacing the term, the phrase, as I have checked, with the phrase, as I have indicated. If you look at the language there, as I have checked suggests that you're giving the agents all of the powers below that you check. In fact, that's not how this works. The agent who holds your power of attorney has all of the powers unless you take action by drawing a line through it and initialing next to it. But in any event, nothing ever gets checked. So we're addressing that problem. The final category of problems and proposed solutions relates to dealing with obsolete provisions. And a provision may become obsolete either simply by the passage of time based on the way a section is drafted, or because something has been repealed and we didn't catch all of the cross-references. An example of this type of problem and solution is Bill Section 35 on page 19, where we're making an amendment to reflect the repeal of two sections, those two sections being 1643901 and 1643906. A little bit about how the revisor's bill comes into being. We on sort of a rolling basis, collect problems that are brought to our attention either through our own review of the statutes, which we do every year, incidentally, during the interim, or the Department of Law or other departments bring them to our attention. One of the three revisors, either the revisor or one of the two assistant revisors, takes the lead on drafting the bill, and then we turn it over to the other two so that they have an opportunity to go through it and make sure the problems that we are addressing are appropriate for a revisor's bill. And this is significant because a revisor's bill is a nonpartisan and policy-neutral bill. So we want to make sure that we're not making any new policy choices, even through inadvertence. After we scan the bill for those sorts of things in our own office, we then send it over to the Department of Law. And there at the department, it gets sort of parceled out between all the various attorneys and the various practice groups that work for a given department that might be affected by this. And they review it for the same sort of thing, to make sure that the amendments are appropriate for a policy-neutral bill and that we're not doing anything we're not supposed to do. And at that point, we get it sent back to us, we finalize it, and we bring it up usually in the first meeting of Legislative Council after the beginning of the year. And that's in a nutshell. I wasn't intending to take the committee through all 91 sections in the bill, but I'll stand ready to answer any questions that any of the members might have.
Thank you for not taking us through every section of the bill.
I'd like to start with Section 1.
Representative Gruover.
I have a few questions.
Okay.
But maybe if other people have them first, that I'm just working my way through this. But I would like to ask at some point.
Okay. And what I'll do, because the revisor's bill is so cumbersome, is I'll go ahead and hold it over just one more day to allow members and their staff to go ahead and look through and make sure that there isn't a change that they consider to be substantive. So what I'd like to do actually at this time, unless there are direct questions.
I have some direct questions.
Representative Gruenberg?
Yeah, I have three direct questions, one of which may lead to an amendment, actually. First is on page 9, and it is on page 9, line 16. Just 1 minute before I ask the question. Okay. I was wondering if after the word below and before in my name, there should be a comma. Through the chair.
I think that simply as a grammatical matter, it's fine as is, but I have absolutely no problem with inserting a comma.
Well, I don't know. If it doesn't make any difference, I won't do it. But if it, I don't want to get the whole bill printed for one comma. But if it makes any difference, I'll do it.
But I think it's fine as is.
Okay, then I won't worry about that. The next is on page 21.
21?
Yeah. Section 41. No, excuse me. No, section 42. Why are we eliminating the legislative intent, that whole legislative intent?
There, the legislative intent reflects to reemployment benefits granted by a federal statute. Those portions of the federal statute that granted those reemployment benefits have been repealed.
And then I was taught when I was the co-chair of this committee, and Peter Gall was the other co-chair, that something that I've kept in mind at all times, I haven't always done it, and that is to always try to find out what's being repealed, because that's sometimes the most important thing in a bill. So we have three statutes that are being repealed. Mr. Crawford, through the chair, what are they?
The first is 1408-031D, which is one of several sorts of amendments that deals with the fact that the Bureau of Indian Affairs does not manage or supervise schools in the state of Alaska. Now, this particular problem and its solution throughout the bill, and there are multiple sections that deal with that, typically are able to do it simply by removing the BIA language. This one, more or less the entire subsection dealt with the BIA, and that's why that's being repealed.
Go ahead.
The next one is 1850-940, paragraph 4. This is being repealed on the recommendation of the Department of Law, which has correctly pointed out that the term being repealed, this is a definition for a phrase. The phrase is child adoption agency. I believe this is also one of multiple amendments that deals with this particular issue. Child adoption agency is not used in this particular chapter. And that's why this section, which provides the definitions for the chapter, that chapter being 1850, doesn't make sense.
Through the chair, I believe that phrase is used elsewhere and appears in House Bill 53, doesn't it? And I just was wondering, if the amendments in House Bill 53 pass, do we need to maybe keep this on the books? You can take a look since we're holding it for a day. I think Reneve has said that term is used in your bill, isn't it? Anyway, you can take a look, and Reneva in Representative Coghill's office is the expert on that.
I'll be happy to take a look.
And how about the third one?
The third one relates to the repeal of 4614250 subsection E, and this related to a duty to set an initial fee rate for emission fees for the first 2 years following approval of the permit program under a chapter. And as that date has come and passed.
Okay. Well, with the question that remains just to check that with House Bill 53, I don't think I have any other questions.
Okay. So we'll go ahead and hold the Senate Bill 101, the revisor's bill, over to allow members to examine that more thoroughly.
Could you let me know?
I'm going to go ahead and recess to the call of the chair. Again, I it's never my intent to surprise you. We'll communicate with you well, but at this time of the year, it's just so difficult to determine when we'll have session and when we'll have time that I'll recess to the call of the chair, and then Vanessa will be in touch with your staff. Okay? So we'll see you in recess.